You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
So I was trying to think of some sort of witty, funny opening to lead into this review with, but I got nothing because I don't know how you can make something witty or sparkly out of the Challenger disaster.
Indeed.
Which is, it's pretty, that's a pretty tall order. But anyways, we are here talking about Challenger, the final flight. And, it's the new Netflix documentary series, four-part documentary series that chronicles the ill-fated final flight of the Challenger space shuttle back in January of 1986. And this is a hard-hitting one for those that know very little about it or those that might, just have a peripheral view of it or not know anything about it at all. But anyways, it's not just me on this review, although my name is Frank. And with me, I have Jen.
Hey, everybody.
Mark.
Hello.
And Santiago.
Hey.
And we are talking about Challenger, the Final Flight, executive produced by J.J. Abrams and his Bad Robot Company, and which I can see why this would be something that his team would want to take
right
on.
Alley.
Yeah. And this definitely left an impression for me personally. What about you guys?
It's interesting for me particularly, in my day job when we're not writing amazing reviews for things, I work for a company that is a contractor with NASA. So I go on site in Houston and I get to talk with astronauts and flight directors on occasion, and we go through Memorial Grove regularly. And it's fascinating for me putting this into a real life context because Challenger happened the year before I was born. So this was just before anything I recollect. I remember bits of what happened with Columbia, but not much about it.
That's so funny because I did not know anything about Columbia, really. And I was 21 when that happened.
Yeah.
And I was 4 when I turned 4 years old 2 days after the Challenger crashed. And yet I grew up knowing about Challenger.
You're
but nothing about
young.
Columbia.
I
and
was...
we're in Texas. How weird is that? I was in high school when that happened. And all I remember hearing about Columbia was, bits of things falling from the sky. That's it. That's all I remember. I don't remember it being a huge moment, but like the whole world stopped when the Challenger happened. This was such a huge pivotal moment in our culture, and it redefined the whole next decade of how NASA performed their day-to-day operations. So it was so huge. So to see that have such a huge impact and then know that something that actually happened during my lifetime didn't really impact me, it's fascinating to me.
It's interesting, between the response to the two different events. I didn't think about that until just now.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys are so young. I was in high school. I remember this vividly. And I was sick that day, and I was just watching. I was like, the shuttle launch is on. Oh, I like to watch a good shuttle launch. Because it had been done a lot. I mean, we'd had so many, we were so used to it.
Yeah.
But I was like, it was still thrilling. And I'm just idly watching it on the couch, and all of a sudden it happened. It just exploded. And I remember what they were saying. Everybody's like, this isn't real, right? No, they're going to be okay. And I remember thinking that.
That's something that I wanted to ask because I just, because I've seen the actual, I've seen an episode of Biography on Krista McCullough, who was the most prominent member of the crew of the Challenger.
Yeah, the teacher. Yeah.
Yeah. And they did a biography on her. And that was the first time I'd ever seen the Challenger explosion footage. And I remember looking at the footage of the people, that there was what seemed like disbelief, but also just uncertainty about what they'd seen. I was like, I never got to ask anybody, yep, what was that like to see that on the, you know, to see that happening?
It was confusing. I mean, you didn't even know what you're supposed to feel because it was so fast. I mean, like, they're doing it. It's awesome. Yep. And here I'm accelerating at 104% and everything. Yeah. And all of a sudden you hear malfunction and all of a sudden it just explodes. Mm. And there's no warning. It just, and it, you can barely hear it. You just see this, you know, this puff, you see in the, and because, you know, we were not with the long range cameras at first. It was just a regular news item, right? And like, everybody's like, what's that? And you didn't know what the hell it was. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, those are the booster rockets flying off in the, you know, Helter Skelter.
Oh, gosh.
And, or at least one of them. Because you see the one of them coming our way. The other one exploded. And you're just like, wait a minute. There's no way they can survive that. You know? And it just takes, it takes like 10 minutes to really, it took 10 minutes for me to penetrate. I'm like, oh, my God. I just saw something awful happen.
Yeah, I think that's just the sheer unbelievability of it is something that, even though it's been decades, it's been like 30 something years. It's man, that it's still just once you know what that is and what's coming, it is quite powerful. But we should also say that this isn't just spotlighting the actual disaster itself. This documentary, it's a four-part documentary series, like we said, and also looking at the people that were on the Challenger, the crew, and it looks at, yeah, who they were, their sort of voyage to NASA, and, you know, what led them to being part of the ill-fated crew. And I really like that because I knew about Kristen McCullough personally, because of, I watched Biography, because I was such a nerd. Mm-hmm. I'm still a nerd. But I like that we got to know these other astronauts, because for the longest time they were just sort of lumped in as just the crew. And this, you really saw them as people. And, you know, there's interviews with their family members. There's interviews with colleagues. And eventually this does become one of those crime series.
Yeah, in a way.
That's really what it felt like for me. Absolutely.
Investigative. It's a mystery. Like an investigative, yeah, series.
Right.
There's, yeah, so much that happens behind the scenes of such a huge moment like that. So many, I mean, years and years of the process of building the rockets and how they were formed and the way the people run the company and all of the things that go on behind the scenes that you don't get to see on a day-to-day basis. So getting to see behind that curtain of what all was happening and the changes that were being made or not being made, that it's just mind blowing how such a tiny thing can have such a catastrophic effect.
Oh yeah. A small rubber ring.
Yeah.
What was amazing too is that I remember thinking, what happened? And it was portrayed on TV at the time, like a big mystery. And they're like, it's the tiles, it's this, it's that. And then this came out and you realize they've been lying, that the decision had been made knowing this was a problem, knowing that this might happen.
Yeah.
And honestly, it had been a problem for a couple of launches. And it says in the documentary, they're literally praying. The engineers that made it are literally praying every time they hear the countdown.
Yeah.
Which is utterly astounding to me.
Yeah. And you think that it would be... especially because I feel like in the 80s, NASA was such a shining star. You know, it was yeah, it was something to aspire to. It was the symbolism of NASA.
It was our gateway out of Watergate and the cynicism. Yeah, absolutely. That was pervading. Because the 80s were really cynical. I mean, yeah, we were the kids, we're Generation X. We were the kids that were like, oh, we're going to die tomorrow because of nuclear war. And we were raised that way. And we believed it.
Yeah.
And everything was, it was a downtime. And the one of the few things you could count on was NASA and the shuttles. And that went out the window.
Yeah.
You know, for a long time.
How did you guys feel about the, because one of the things that I sort of, just in terms of just a documentary effort, I thought that there was points here where they're trying to stretch it to make it an actual series. Like, I feel like this could have been just a documentary feature.
I think it could have been done in two episodes personally. I really do. I think you could have one episode doing the biography and talking to those people. Well, maybe three, because I don't think it needed to be four episodes because the last episode could be the examination of the accident.
Yeah, I thought that was stretched a little bit in terms of just right. The narrative that they were telling. Yeah, and that was something that just stuck out for me. I don't know, Santi, what do you think?
I mean, I think that this is where Netflix excels as far as like documentary series are concerned. This particular series, like as far as the pace and everything, I thought everything worked really well. I thought that it got rather like in deep with some of the subject matter, and then it contrasted it in a way that I thought was weird because they talked about some of the manufacturing of the rocket and then immediately jumped over to some of the personal stories about the people, and I thought those were a bit gratuitous, but for the most part, just like completely bravo. Like, I absolutely love this documentary. I couldn't stop watching it. Just like the last one that I watched from Netflix, like I put it on a little bit late and I stayed up until like 5 a.m. watching this stuff because it was just that compelling. And as I've read the Wikipedia details about this event like probably a few times over in the last like I don't know decade or so, just because I'm fascinated by this entire concept. And this documentary like really takes the pace of the entire like lie and the story of the people and just like the entire thing like so intricately and well paced to where you have to kind of just like I rewound this thing a few times because I needed to rehear the entire, like, very intricate story. Like, it was.
I do agree with you. I do agree with you that it's, I think the examination part of what went wrong, when it really, that's when it really kicks up, excitement wise. For me, anyways, the detective lover in me is just like, getting really excited. But, because I'd always just assumed that it was just like, well, it was the bad weather. And it just, whatever shape the rocket was, the shuttle was in, was just not meant to go out in bad weather. And that was, I mean, that was that. But looking at just all the behind the scenes goings on, between the powers that be, who were desperate just to keep a schedule, that whole uncovering was something I didn't know about, and I found that really, really fascinating. Maddening, but fascinating.
It's also so typical. We're a capitalist society. We want everything to keep going. The suspension of disbelief that anything is ever going to go wrong. So like, yes, let's plan for twice as many launches as we have ever done before, because nothing is ever going to fail. We are America, and damn it, we're going to do really well. Yeah. Like, that just seems so like,
well, it's pride and ego,
stupid,
isn't it?
Yeah, like, well, it's like typical.
It's a fascinating way of highlighting, I think, something that's a systemic problem in our country, which is organizations like NASA are forced to perform for the public of sorts. I mean, the entirety of this story highlights
customer service culture.
They were required to do so many things so quickly and to push new boundaries because without the public appeal and without people wanting to watch it on TV every day and without something new and exciting, Dance Monkey, NASA was going to lose funding, which was going to end their whole project. So there were so many corners that had to get cut and risky decisions that had to be made to push things forward, because otherwise they were constantly at risk of just being completely defunded. I mean, that's why they were sending senators up into space and why they had to send a teacher up into space. Like, we have to find some way to make the American public care. Like, it's like another Rome in the Colosseum, you know? You give them some death and some blood and then they pay attention. If you don't, they're not going to care. So send up 20,000 rockets in a year or we're going to cut your funding.
There's definite pressure that comes that plays a part in that, as well as the whole pride and
ego. They had a launch quota.
Yep.
Yeah.
They couldn't meet.
Couldn't possibly meet safely. I mean, so that's something insane. Has to give. What's going to give? The money, the time, or the people?
Because space exploration is just a market like anything else. And that's just really sad. That part was really like kind of, there's that, you mentioned about the ongoing just problem in this country where we let like our capitalist fervor like make decisions for us and we just kind of like everybody abides, like kind of what's happening right now with people like going out to restaurants and just like abiding by the rules that are dictated by an economic urgency, not an urgency to, you know, care for the goodness of people. And that is unusual.
Exactly. And absolutely.
And the fact that that is something that was around back then is not only disappointing, but just depressing.
Well, and the fact that it continued beyond this event, because that's what ended up leading to the Columbia issue.
I mean, that's the same exact problem on a different day. Well, it did mend the problem, but then with Columbia, I forget what the problem with Columbia was.
It was a piece of foam that was constantly breaking off when the shuttle launched into space.
On re-entry,
it goes through
right?
the atmosphere. The same piece broke every time. They knew about it in advance, but it wasn't deemed important enough to ground the fleet. It was the same thing. You have a quota. You have to meet the quota. So we're going to push through and make decisions.
And that's so sad, because like, I don't know if they pointed this out in the documentary series or not, but I think they probably did, because you know, at one point, the space program was always just showing up and giving hope during the most turbulent times in society, like in the late 60s and onwards. And then it is so sad to see what it had become in the 80s, this sort of corporate circus in a way, and the circus in this, you know, for the public.
I think it derailed it too, because we thought. And if you watch the documentary, it kind of says this too. We thought this was going to lead to commercial space flights, and
right, yeah,
we were going to, you know, we were onward to making a colony on the moon, and there was
Airplane
too.
Like that's
stuff.
The plot of Airplane too, isn't it?
Right,
yeah,
right. And it's, if you remember, it's a space shuttle. Remember, and we thought that was actually going to happen, and maybe it would have happened, but this derailed everything. And then the Columbia disaster happened. That was like the. I was like, okay, well, we got to figure this out. Maybe this whole program doesn't work. But we did have quite a few successful missions, but you got to get it straight. And we weren't. We kept coming up with new and weird wrinkles because of quotas and rush schedules and expenses and lowest bidders and everything that's real life, yeah. You know?
I got to say, I did love seeing the footage from the hearing from the commission, and seeing all these NASA guys who were basically, if not silenced, pressured to stay silent, and finally come forward and say, actually, you know, you knew this. This was brought to your attention. You didn't do anything.
Engineer's revenge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the series did a really great job of putting you in the chair of the people who were affected by this the most. Like the people who lost their loved ones, or the contractors who worked for the company and were sitting there praying every night that something wouldn't go wrong. It did a really great job of putting that in your face and making you feel it. Like,
yeah.
There was the one gentleman who was, what was it, the assistant to one of the higher-ups in the company, the contractor that made the rockets. And, you could hear, I mean, this is 30 years after the event that this was filmed, but you could still hear the tension and the stress in his voice when he was talking about having to send the fax with the release to NASA. Oof.
He clearly felt responsible on some level.
Absolutely. The account of Chris McCullough's alternate. Who's going to be her alternate? Could she not make it on the day? I found her account very stirring and gut wrenching.
In essence, you have to feel like you're the only survivor of that flight.
Yeah,
because she trained with that whole crew. It was a crew of eight essentially in training every day until the day that they launched, and she was the only one left behind. That must be an amazingly surreal experience. I cannot even imagine.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's like your surrogate family gone in a heartbeat. Oh, man. But, yeah, we should get into final thoughts, probably. Santi, you want to get us started?
Yeah, this documentary, I think, some people might find it a little bit, like, I don't know, it's very long-winded, I suppose. Like, I don't think it's for everybody. Like, the content is definitely very sad, but I do think it's like extremely informative, and I am a huge sucker for historical documentaries like this. I think I said it before, like, Netflix has, at least for me, like, it's where they excel as far as documentaries, or as far as movies are concerned. I don't think that the movies that, or shows that they make are very good, but I think their documentaries are amazing. And this is
usually they're pretty good, yeah.
And this is no exception. I mean, it's completely awesome, and everything about it is just like extremely dramatic. Like, I would say that it's very well done, and I do think that whoever did these interviews like was really getting into the weeds with these people, because I feel like they really poured their hearts out. Everybody from the scientist at Thoracle, I think that was the name of the company that met, that the contractor that manufactured the boosters, to the wife of the captain. I mean, like, their recounts and their stories were so captivating and compelling and just like heartfelt, and I was like I was just a bit floored at how well they delivered it. It's almost like they were waiting to do this documentary in a lot of ways. Like, I felt like they were just like happy to do it. The amount of people that were involved, everyone down to the guy who made the decision to continue on with the flight, that was crazy. Their demeanor, everything was almost cinematic and dramatic to a point where it seemed like fictional. It was.
You talking about the mission control scene?
I'm talking about the two gentlemen that were part of the commission, the NASA decision to go ahead and fly after Thoracle, the booster company told them not to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had interviews with these two men, and they adamantly said how they still don't regret their decisions. And I thought that was
unbelievable.
It was really dark. And, you know, I think that just makes this documentary just that much more nuanced, to where you have like some really like happy moments, because I really was like excited to see the part leading up to the launch that gave the impression that it was something good. And it was almost like I was reliving this moment, you know. Yeah. Bravo for that. I think that this documentary should be shown in schools. It's that good. I could talk about it for a long time, but I'm going to stop and say that this deserves a 9 out of 10 Jerry Seinfeld jokes about being blasé about space travel, because I do feel that that's a pretty good...
It was a good joke.
Yeah, it was a good joke, but it was also like a pretty good example of where the country stood as far as like space travel was concerned.
Yeah, it was our attitude.
It was just like, oh, whatever, we're going to space all the dang time.
Mark?
Anyway. Okay, I gave you guys a mislead. We were talking about this before we started recording, and I was like, there was nothing emotionally to grip on. And now I'm looking at my notes, and I'm like, wait a minute, there was tons of stuff to emotionally grip on that I really, like, watching those men you were talking about, who are clearly in denial.
Yeah.
You know, who's saying they don't feel responsible. They clearly do feel responsible. I mean, they're these two old men, and they're like turtles. They're slowly withdrawing into themselves, and you see it, and you're like, oh, you poor bastards. You've had to live with this, and you know deep down that you were a big part of it. And, I mean, they said, well, I'd do it again because, and I get that. I get why it was a tough decision for them. But, so that kind of got me. The wife of the pilot, I believe, who was so angry at them when she found out. So, and she was coldly angry at them. It was devastating. And I think there's a lot of characters, a lot of people who I did not know about the African-American astronaut and the other guy. I mean, I wish they'd devote a little more time to them, because as you said, McCullough is the emotional center of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, not just for the mission, but for the country.
She was the face of it, wasn't she?
She was America's teacher, mm-hmm. for a brief moment. And America's teacher died in a smoke ball. Mm. She was just gone. Poof. And that alone was devastating. And that scene, right when it happened, and you see the mission control people, and they are stunned. They don't even, it's clear they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And they can't believe what they're seeing. And it was very, so I take it back. I was totally wrong. In my first assessment, I had to review my notes to figure it out. I'm like, oh, there's tons of stuff here. it could have been a little more succinct, could have been better edited, and it was a little stretched out. That's my negative about it. So I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 frozen inflexible O-rings.
Jen?
I mean, I'm definitely going to come out and say that I am completely and totally biased in regards to anything NASA-oriented. Like, I would watch every NASA documentary known to mankind. Like, I will watch every single one. I will read every NASA book. This is my jam. I feel personally invested because of work.
Did you see that horrible Natalie Portman movie when she goes into space from a couple years ago? Lucy in the Sky?
I don't know what you're talking about, and I'm not watching it. It's not happening. No, but so I'm definitely biased in regards to this. Like, I would watch any of this, so naturally I'm going to score it highly. But I think this is an incredibly important story. If there are only a few stories you pay attention to in the history of NASA, this is one of those moments, because there's so much to mine from it. There's so much you can learn from things like this in any field, really.
Absolutely.
I mean, the leadership challenges that come out of an event like this, the attention to the bureaucracy and that song and dance you have to do in order to, you know, fund your agency, the changes that have to come out of moments like this. Like, there's just so much to unpack here, and it's an important story. And I'm really glad that Netflix decided to tell this from kind of a different perspective than what we're used to. You know, you tell the story of America's teacher, but they did justice to the other astronauts as well. And that's equally as important. And I'm hoping that seeing projects like this come out on platforms like Netflix will help draw more attention to NASA, especially now that we have finally started to commercialize the space industry. And you have companies like Blue Origin and Elon Musk and everybody, you know, developing new technology. So these are lessons that were valuable 30 years ago that are going to continue to be valuable in current days. So this is important stuff, kids. Pay attention, you know. I do think there were moments of this that did drag a bit. And there were a few moments that I felt the atmosphere was a little too contrived for me. I like even journalism, you know, just tell the story the way it is and let the people fill it with emotion. You don't need to overproduce it. And I felt like there were a couple moments where it was a little overproduced, like the parting shot where it was just a 10 seconds of each of the family members affected by the Challenger crash.
Yeah,
that was a little bit much for me, and I was like, all right, guys, okay, invasive, we get it. Yeah, we're serious. Well, you could have done it with one of them. You didn't need to do it with all 15 of them. Okay,
stretching the time for to make the episode, I suppose.
Yeah, that was a bit much for me. But other than that, I like I said, this is a great story. It was well told. I'm glad that this exists, and I agree. I would absolutely show this in schools. Also, if you're more interested in other stories from NASA, go check out Tom Hanks' flick. He did a mini-series called From Earth to the Moon, which is all about NASA, and it's wonderful. And, like, every relevant actor from the 90s is in it. Go see it. Yeah. It's wonderful. So I'm going to give this project 9 out of 10 slow roasted ground pigs at the beach house.
Nice. Yeah. Sally Field actually directed an episode of From the Earth to the Moon. Actually.
Yes, she did.
That's right. That's what I thought.
It's so great. Ugh, yeah. Love it.
I'm just going to echo what everybody else said. Basically, I think that this is a really great series. Like I said before, I only have a peripheral sort of view about it, being like 4 years old when this happened, but knowing about it in hindsight. Like I said before, not knowing anything about the Columbia, so it really speaks to how iconic and game changing in a lot of ways, both good and bad, this event was. I think that this as a project, it's well thought out. It's definitely researched, as much as it can be. It looks at everybody who was involved, including the other astronauts, so that they are just not lumped, grouped together as the other ones that were on there who died. It also looks at the people that made that fateful decision, and you know, it is so evenly spread out as a documentary. I mean, that's what you want. That you do cover the multitude of sides of whatever story you're trying to tell, and these guys did it. For sure. I'm going to echo what's been said before. I think that this is stretched a little bit too much to make it into a documentary series, when I really think a documentary feature would have been probably a little bit more appropriate.
Agreed.
But it's still compelling, and it pulls back the curtain on something that was really emblematic of a time, of an industry, which, you know, was sad, but it is part of our history, and it's unforgettable. And I think that ultimately, whatever flaws the series has, it does justice by the event itself and the people that were involved in it. Those who were around, who are no longer around, and those who still are. So I got to give this overall 8.5 out of 10, you know, apples in space. Because that would have been a really cool lesson to see. And that would have been a really amazing, just an amazing event had it, you know, come off